In a world filled with war, hate, suffering, and Justin Bieber, two guys fix it all with a battle about a movie. One film, two opinions, one coin, two sides. They feud. You decide. It's time for Film Feud.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Film Feud, the podcast where we debate whether top-rated movies should be top-rated. I'm Vidur.
And I'm Vikram.
What's up, Vikram?
Not much.
Ready to feud?
No.
Well, then what are we doing here? Should we come back when you are ready?
It was sarcastic. I'm always ready to feud. I don't know why you keep asking me that. As if like I'd be like, oh, not today, Vidur. Let's go home. And then we switch the recording off and just...
This has happened.
Has it?
Yeah.
With me?
Yeah.
No, you're just making that up.
You're the worst improviser ever. First, I asked you whether you were ready to feud, and you were like, no.
Yeah.
And then I said, this has happened. And
it's my feuding mindset, man. I don't want to give you any edge.
Yeah. Instead of yes anding, you're like, no, but.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, why?
No, why?
Yeah.
You just no butted my suggestion that you do no but. You couldn't even say, yes, I do no but. You're like, no, I do no why.
Were you talking in like a different language, man?
Yeah, I think we should move on.
I could no but you know why?
Let me restart. Vikram,
please.
Ready to feud?
Kind of now, yeah. I'm a little scared to say no, so yes.
Aha, I've hyped you up.
Yeah.
I've increased the antagonization between us. Awesome. Well, now that our listeners have had to endure this antagonization process, why don't you actually tell the good folk, our pleasant listeners, maybe some new listeners, what we're doing here today?
Of course, man. So we take a movie from the IMDb Top 250. We toss a coin. Heads argues for. Tails argues... Come on. You can do it. You can do it.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh. Not for.
Not for. Also known as AKA against.
Oh, brilliant.
And the movie we're feuding this week is Slurp Slurp, Christopher Nolan's Inception.
This is our like fifth Christopher Nolan movie. Are we just going through his entire catalog?
Dude, they keep coming up, man. They're all on there, so we can't do much.
That's true. He does dominate the IMDb Top 250.
Yeah, it's like an insta shoo-in. Like he makes a movie before its release, it's on the IMDb Top 250.
That's not unreasonable as a strategy, But I don't want to reveal too much about how I feel about Nolan.
I feel like we've revealed enough about how we feel about Nolan over the course of this podcast. So yeah, let's just move on, man.
Okay, so we're fans.
We're fans.
Of the majority of his work. And yeah. I'm not being facetious there. That's true. There are some Nolan duds in my brain, at least. And I guess we're going to figure out if this is one of them by tossing the coin and then revealing our feelings. Does that sound fair? Is that fair enough?
I guess, dude, in the most diplomatic manner you could put it in. But I'm just going to go ahead and say that I liked this movie when it came out.
Whoa.
That's all I'm saying.
Whoa.
I've seen it multiple times, but the first time it came out, I kind of liked it.
Whoa. Are you revealing how you feel about the movie? I'm so proud of you, Vikram.
It's Nolan, man, and you should do it too. Just be honest with yourself.
I thought this movie was amazing when it came out, but I saw it in a theater and I was wasted. It was my first drunk
wasted
movie watching experience. I was in New York. I just moved there.
Can't imagine liking this movie wasted. Like, it probably wouldn't make sense. How would you keep up?
Does it make sense the first time, even if you're sober? I don't know. Like, I...
Way more than if I would be hammered, yeah.
I actually had an all right time. Now, was it the alcohol? Was it the movie? Well, that's an easy question to answer because I have seen it again since then.
Yeah, I was probably with the alcohol.
And, you know, interesting concepts. Mm-hmm. I don't know why we're souling around this. Actually, I'm very proud of you for revealing. So now I'm excited. The coin toss becomes very high stakes.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
Should we get to it?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'll be tossing the coin, heads argues for and tails argues against. Here we go. And it's heads. Oh, Vikram.
Yeah.
How's your unique and rare strategy of revealing how you feel about this
movie? It wasn't a strategy. I was just being honest, but I didn't want to completely be honest. And the second part of my statement is that Nolan tends to get ahead of himself at times. And... There are a few points which I've... Which I, you know, sort of buried deep in my consciousness because of my blind love for Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, Interstellar 2, which I happen to love, but there are some flaws there, man, which we
obviously... Interstellar 2 is coming out.
No, it's not. I meant Interstellar as well. They have flaws, man. So we'll dive deep. Yeah, I'm excited.
No, keep going.
Look at my excitement.
I want to see where you go.
No, I'm saving it all for the feud.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, you know, what I thought you would say is that you're going to rewatch the movie and reevaluate, but...
That's obviously going to happen.
You've just dug yourself a hole already by talking about the flaws.
I'm telling you, so a lot of Nolan movies, I think apart from The Dark Knight, Dark Knight was near perfect, according to me, in terms of the movie.
Just because we haven't feuded it yet. Well done. Your strategy today is just all over the place. You're shooting yourself in the foot.
Hear me out, man. Hear me out. Give me the benefit of the doubt. So apart from Dark Knight, all his movies are very out there in terms of the concept, right? Like, it's never been seen before, thought before and stuff. And because of that, he digs himself into these holes, which are obviously very tough to get out of. And I blatantly ignore all of that stuff.
Speaking of holes that you dig that are tough to get out of, I think you should stop talking, by the way.
I'm sticking by my theory, man. I'm going to rewatch this and I'm going to come back with some good ammo.
Okay, why don't we just get to it then? Let's go watch the movie.
Let's do it.
Dude, I realized something watching this movie again for the umpteenth time, because it's so good.
Umpteenth after 16?
No, it comes after 79 and then it goes umpteenth. Let me just tell you.
Okay.
This movie is like The Matrix if Christopher Nolan made The Matrix. How good is that? That should just tell you everything you need to know. Really? Nolan's Matrix.
Ugh. Really?
Ugh. Yeah. That's what you have to say?
Yeah. Also, dude, just because I also watched this movie for the umpteenth plus one time.
Mm-hmm. Which should lose you the feud already, but
no,
anyway.
No, this is blind love for Nolan. I'm not going to disrespect the great man.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you keep watching Insomnia over and over again?
I've seen Insomnia over six times.
Okay.
I'm telling you, it's blind love. It's just blind love. But then now I've been forced to just move beyond the blind love and look at the fallacies.
Get rid of your Nolan goggles.
Yeah. I mean, they just blind me all the time, man. But my rewatch of this movie, you know, the thing that stood out in terms of what annoyed me the most, that bloody song, dude.
Which song?
The song they use for the kick.
The French classic.
It's like a tape stock, dude.
You mean it's beautiful?
Uh-huh,
you mean
great.
It's the most immersive melody that just takes you out of a dream. It's like a dreamlike state in itself, and yet it's used as a kick to come out of the dream. The many layers on which it's working. The French translation of I Regret Nothing. And here you are making it into a truck horn.
Because that's the only part we hear for the most part, right? And you can't tell me that every time you rewatch this movie, you like the song more.
Of course.
That's impossible. Of course.
I regret nothing, she says so beautifully.
That's all there is, dude. This annoys me.
Dude, that song holds up along with other Hans Zimmer music. You have started off with one of the best parts of this movie. And by the way, I say best very lightly because there's like nine best parts.
Right. Everything is the best part, right?
You know, it's very, meta because the way the movie is an ensemble movie, the best parts of the movie are also ensemble. The music, working with the direction and the cinematography. Anyway.
I like how you go into this mode and then suddenly your accent, you just get this twang in your accent, like meta.
Meta.
It's so meta.
It's so Nolan and meta, you know. And, you know, the more I like the movie, the more I become a Valley girl. So I just can't help it if I like talk like a little bit like this during this movie. Because, you know, this movie's so good, you know. And the thing is, like, the music just touched me on a whole different level. Like, I thought, like, it was touching me at, like, a low level. But turns out it was actually, like, at a very high level. Because, you know, Hans Zimmer, you know. And it's just like, wah.
That's what you mean by the music? Wah.
Yeah, but like right in the end, you know, when the van is like falling down into the river, and should I just stop now, by the way?
Oh my God, please stop. I don't know how much I will be able to take feuding against this movie plus you talking like a Valley girl the entire time. I cannot do it.
Okay, just like one last sentence and then I'll stop, okay?
What?
No, I'm done. That was my last sentence.
Anyway, how's the music good in this movie? There's nothing.
Are you going against Hans Zimmer right now? Is that what's happening?
Are you like... Dude, don't call the cops firstly, okay? Just chill out. I'm just saying that Hans Zimmer, this is the least Hans Zimmer music in a movie ever. There's just near the near and then wah. That's all there is.
The wah was from the trailer. Everybody thinks of it as like the Inception music. It's not. It was only in the trailer and it was very epic in the trailer when they showed like the limbo state and stuff. In the movie, like the entire third act, which actually reminds me of Interstellar, which of course came out later, and Dunkirk, which of course had like that ticking clock effect. The entire third act relies on Hans Zimmer music to build the tension. You know, the three levels intercutting between each other? They're all tied together by Hans Zimmer music.
But there's nothing memorable about music. Like Interstellar, I remember that space docking theme. In Dunkirk, you obviously remember like the music, the jet, the dogfight music. There's nothing memorable about the music here. Like there's nothing that stands out.
Dude, Inception music is still a thing. Even though if it was only in the trailer, Inception music. Everybody knows what you mean. When
hum
you
out,
Inception.
Hum it out.
Epic.
Hum.
Cinematic.
Don't throw words at it. Hum it out.
Hey, I got it.
That's Interstellar.
Oh, that's Interstellar. Well, I can't help it if Hans Zimmer has created more melodic things in the future.
I'm telling you, it's that's all there is.
Okay, can we move on? Because we jumped to the music because you started mocking French classics. But just the
movie. I have a suggestion real quick.
No, I reject your suggestion. No, I'm going to no but.
Please.
Okay, I'll hear it out.
Every time we jump to sections, can I just do or near the near?
No, you
Please,
may not.
Please, that's so epic.
Then I will talk like a valley girl. Let's make a compromise.
I agree. Let's do it.
No, let's instead make a compromise.
You talk like a valley girl the entire episode, and I'm going to do or near the near whenever we jump segments.
Okay, I'll skip the valley girl, and you get to do it only once when we jump to segments. And you get to do it in the background, the way it happens in the movie.
No.
Then we are at an impasse.
Yeah.
No.
Nya.
So to jump to the next part of my four
so well.
Argument, shut up, firstly. The movie as a whole, man. The
movie's
concept,
full of holes, right?
Shut up. The concept.
I thought that's what you said. Sorry.
By the way, Nolan wrote the script himself. Jonathan Nolan wasn't involved. Mm. And I actually thought about it for the first time and I realized that's actually such a positive, dude.
Oh.
Who would have thunk Jonathan Nolan is dragging Christopher Nolan down? But it turns out Christopher Nolan is able to do much better writing because he gets straight to the point. And Jonathan Nolan now, we know through Westworld, he likes to take his time, he likes to build stuff. Look at what Christopher Nolan did here, man. By the way, I read the shooting script of this movie because I loved it so much. I actually purchased it for $10 and read it. And they had these diagrams of the dream machine. They imagine it was invented by like, I don't know, GE or something for like military training so that soldiers could do exercises without actually being in the field, kind of like a virtual reality system. They actually drew out how these things connect, what it means for people to share consciousness. And that's what you get in this movie. You get a lot of like rich real world backstory that they don't spell out for you because, you know, Nolan doesn't insult his audience's intelligence. Yes, there's exposition, but it's like a very rich world. You start out talking about dream sharing as like a means of corporate espionage. That's already another level. And then within the first 10 minutes, you're talking about Inception, which is like the third level and it's never been done.
You know, instead of using the machines to put people to sleep, they should just use the past 2 minutes of my life.
They use sedatives to put people to sleep and they use the machines to share dreams. You know nothing.
They should just use you talking, man. Just like you just talking, just this bullshit Nolan, pro-Nolan propaganda and then people just going to fall asleep. I literally dozed off like thrice while you were talking. What were you talking about again? Was there military in there somewhere?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, man. Can we move on?
Can you doze off?
What's next?
Did you even refute anything I said about it being one of the greatest scripts ever?
I couldn't because I was asleep for the most of it.
Dude, the guy had been just swimming with these ideas in his head for so long. He wanted to write this like dream stealing, like lucid dreaming kind of thing. And he himself conceded he didn't lack the filmmaking experience to make the movie when he first pitched it to Warner Brothers. So he spent 7-8 years making other movies like Batman Begins, Dark Knight. And it's like almost like, you know how it's like one for me, one for you for directors? He put in the groundwork to make this epic thing that had been in his head a reality. Spent so much time writing the script.
I think he keeps losing the plot as the movie goes on, man. As they go deeper and deeper into the layers of the dreams, like that last layer when they're in the snow facility, whatever, the snow mountain facility, there's absolutely no coherence. They're not following the rules that they themselves established during the beginning of the movie. So it's not written. It doesn't jam well together at all.
Dude, I watched the movie with a keen eye this time. And you know what? Everything actually makes sense. And of course, like I said, I read the shooting script a long time ago, so I know that this is all clarified. It's Nolan, dude. If he spent 6 months working on it, do you really think he must have left any holes?
Obviously not. Yeah, I'm happy to talk about the holes, man. So firstly, they actually show Tom Hardy, quote-unquote, dreaming up like a grenade launcher gun.
Uh-huh.
Why can't they just dream up like a helicopter and get the F out of there? Or like a tank to blow through everyone.
You're talking about an epic Tom Hardy line. And by the way, this was the first involvement of Tom Hardy with Nolan, right? So to me, this was the epitome of Tom Hardy and Nolan at the time when he says, "You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling, if I'm not mistaken." Brilliant.
Yeah,
epic.
Yeah,
Tom Hardy,
my question,
Eames,
by the way.
Executing it. Well, it's Yusuf's level, and the dreamers get to conjure up necessarily, dream up. There's a train in that level that goes through the city, right? So yeah, now the exact mechanics of how people create dreams is not clarified, but a lot of it is, right? Like whoever is in the dream gets to participate in the things that happen in the dream. So yeah, he dreams a bigger gun.
Why doesn't he dream a helicopter?
Because then you have to like fly a helicopter in the dream. Like, yeah, they could dream a helicopter, but they didn't plan for that.
Why don't they dream up a tank?
What are you talking about?
Why do they only dream up a marginally bigger gun to get out of a sticky situation?
Because the
why does he need to dream up a grenade and throw it at the four people who are charging at them?
He pretty much did. He dreamed up a rocket launcher. But the point of the dream is not to have the biggest badass dream fight you can, right? The point of the dream is to go multiple layers and do Inception. So whatever it takes to accomplish that goal.
Vaguely answered.
Asked and answered.
Vaguely answered does not cover any of the actual answer. Why can't he just dream up whatever he wants? Why is he only dreaming
up
step 2 of a machine gun? Why doesn't he dream up step 10?
Because he doesn't need step 10.
Of course he does. One of the dudes is shot. They're barely getting out of that situation alive.
They weren't prepared for that. So yes, the dude is shot, but they don't need step 10. They need to survive there for a week, but only in the interest of the mission. Let's move on.
Unsatisfactory. Unsatisfactory. Okay.
I'm sure you're used to hearing that.
Yeah. Nice one, bro. Why doesn't Dom just tell his wife he incepted her? She kills herself thinking that she's in a dream and not in the real world and stuff like that, and she'll wake up. Why doesn't he just tell her that he incepted her? And that's why she's feeling what she's feeling.
Yeah, maybe he does and she thinks he's lying. I'm sure he's tried everything.
No, he doesn't tell her about inception. He specifically keeps it from her, especially her totem in the safe situation. Like, they make it a point to show that he does not reveal that he's incepted her. They only make it a point to reveal that he's been successful at inception when it later comes up and he's like, I did it with Maul.
But so let's just clarify. So when they're in limbo, Maul basically doesn't want to leave. She starts thinking that it's reality, right? So he needs to convince her that it's not reality. And that's why he incepts her. I don't know what the right phrase is, with the spinning top, which is Maul's totem. And she happens to find it and then she gets incepted, realizes limbo is a dream and then wakes up. But it's messed with her so much that when she's in reality, she keeps thinking it's a dream. So at that point, no matter what Dom says to her, she will figure out a way out of it, right? So for instance, when Dom tells her, these are our kids, she's thinking, no, these are our projections of our kids. Of course, they will be real to you.
I'm telling you, man, it's a weak premise. It's full of holes, hastily filled, just like your mama. Boo!
Wow. Wow. You pre-wrote that?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's just holes in your mama. They have to go together, man. And there's just so many of them. Also, what's the deal with totems? I still don't fully understand totems. I understand Dom Corp's totem. But then, like, the chess piece and the die, like, how do they work? I have no bloody idea.
Dude,
like, if I roll the dice, it's always going to be 6 if I'm in a dream? Is that the situation?
I guess the idea is, like, when you're in somebody else's dream or when you project something in your dream, it feels different. So you become experienced with your own totem because nobody else can know how to create that object for you. But why don't we just take a step back? Like, you don't need to absorb this movie at these levels.
Of course, it's a Nolan movie and it's so complicated. It's meant to be enjoyed like that. And if there are holes, then...
You can't on one hand just hype up how good a movie is because it's a Nolan movie and then just pull it down because it doesn't meet that stupid standard. This movie works if you dig as deep as you want to. Of course, some things are left unsaid. I mean, the greatest ending of all time of any movie ever... Ugh. All because
he was lazy enough. He was just lazy enough not to think of an ending. So he's like, yeah, I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He's like, bahut dimag kharab ho gaya, bahut dimag chala liya. I know it's falling apart now. Let's just end it.
Dude, even in the script, in the shooting script, you see it and he says the top spins. It just begins to wobble, but you can't tell. And fade to black. Even reading the script, it gives me the chills, man. The greatest ending. My point is any ambiguity does actually add to the experience of the movie. And Nolan's really good at doing that. Listen, let's just take a step back. Okay. What is the genre of this movie, Vikram?
Bullshit. That's the genre.
Try again. Try again.
Hawa mein baate.
Try again.
Sapno mein baate.
Tell me the real genre of this movie.
I know they like to project it as a heist movie, but...
And it's a mishmash, I'll grant you that.
It's not a heist movie. They'd like to project it
as... It is a heist movie, in a way. They come up with a plan and execute it. Things go wrong.
The weakest MO for a heist movie, by the way.
What do you mean?
One small energy company's owner doesn't want the big boy to eat up his business, so he wants to incept him.
Yeah, it's a high level premise. I'll grant you that. It's cool. What else?
It's weak. It's not high level. I think they also want this to be a sci-fi movie.
It is. I agree. And the last part is action-adventure, right? Because they have some dishum-dishum, some guns,
some action-adventure, the guns, the bad guys in the guns can't aim for shit.
Yeah, they're like stormtroopers.
They're so bad, man.
But they're dream projections.
There's one scene where the guy is literally like 2 feet away for a headshot with an automatic rifle in his hand, and he's just shooting all around them. You know how in cartoons when you just shoot all around a person, and then like you just have that stencil body bullet thing cut out? That's exactly what's happening in this movie.
Yeah, dude, there's this one scene in Wonder Woman where there's a guy standing with a gun behind her head, and instead of shooting her, he tries to like hit her with the gun on the head. I mean, that's going to happen with extras in movies.
Ek to sahi bullet, wo usko Saito ko maar di bullet.
Huh? So then?
And that's the bullet that was like out of nowhere, okay? You haven't seen these guys, suddenly Saito's hit. And then the entire movie, these guys can't shoot for shit.
Also, Maal keeps appearing and just shooting people in the face.
Yes, can we talk about Maal, by the way?
Yeah, let's talk about Maal.
Maal is... It's like she's a human being and not a projection. She's like orchestrating kidnappings and murders and thefts.
Until the end when Leo says, or Dom Cobb says, you know what, even though you're the best I can do as a projection, you're not a hair on my actual wife. So she's a complicated projection. She's being projected by the greatest dreamer in the world, right? With the most emotional stakes. He literally conjures her up every day for years and years just to spend time with her. Like, just dreaming personally. Imagine if you
But she's a projection at the end of the day, right? She's a projection of Cobb's subconscious.
Okay.
Why does she go into limbo when she dies?
What do you mean?
In the last sequence, like...
She doesn't go into limbo. Like, she exists in limbo because they're sharing a dream with Dom, who's been there.
So there are four versions of Maul's... as a subconscious or a projection existing in these dream states? Like, she's in all?
She's like a well-written character. She's very fully fleshed out.
Uh-huh.
And Dom Cobb, Leo, has had like 100 years in dream time to write out this character. So yeah, it's fully
fleshed. So there's a version of Maul in every dream state up until limbo till dream state number one. There's a version of Maul existing
everywhere. Any dream that you share with Dom has the potential of Maul appearing.
Don't get it.
I really want to play with the word Maal as it applies to Maal, aka pot, but I'm just going to resist that.
Okay.
For now.
You can call him Maul. Like
Maul.
Do the all there.
They do kind of mess up names sometimes, mm-hmm. actually. I think Ariadne is probably the most confusing name.
You mean Ariana Grande?
Are you saying that because of her name or her stature?
Huh?
Like, because she's tiny, Ellen Page?
I have no idea what Ariana Grande looks like.
How old are you, dude?
I'm 30.
Ariana Grande is like 25, but she looks like she's 14. And I think that's her appeal.
Okay. Yeah. Works double, I guess. Ariana Grande is just so much easier to say than
Ariadne.
Ariadne.
Ariadne, by the way, is a name that refers to a character in Greek mythology, I believe. Something to do with dreams, I'm sure. But she works as an exposition receiver. You know, you need that fish out of water character to just integrate and learn more about the world. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he teaches her a lot, and then we get to learn what's happening. So, you know, you need one of those characters.
Dude, also Ellen Page, man. Just generally, like, what's her deal? I don't get it.
Don't you dare hate on Ellen Page.
I don't understand how she's such a sought-after actor, man. She brings nothing.
She's not, by the way.
She is pretty sought-after.
Nah, her star has died. She's currently in a Netflix show called The Umbrella Academy, where she's like the fourth billed character.
Yeah, I know, I understand that. But she's still sought-after generally. I don't understand why she's a good
Juno,
actor.
Man. It's Juno. Have you
she
not seen Juno?
She brings nothing but blandness to her role. It's like I'm having Peaky Dal. Like, I'm eating it. I don't taste anything. I'm just hoping it's good. And it probably is, but it maybe isn't. That's literally what Ariana
she's
Grande does.
She's hip and young. And you have no idea who Ariana Grande is. Okay, so just
it's
talk.
Ariana Grande from this movie. No,
we're not moving on yet. Ellen Page is a treasure. She's Juno. She did Juno. She'll always have Juno. She brings the hip to any role.
She brings the hip.
And the slightly lesbian, you know, if you need that.
She needs to bring some salt to her role because she's bland AF, man. Like, she's just that confused. Like, what? Huh? Okay.
So she is confused. And in the end, she takes charge and then, like, improvises in limbo and kicks the Cillian Murphy off and then takes care of Dom. She's like a kid who is smarter than Dom emotionally.
I don't know, man. At least she was not the standard Christopher Nolan. Yeah, it didn't work.
Can we move on?
Yeah. Moving on to the next actor.
Je m'appelle Derien.
Your name is I Have No Regrets. Okay, that works. I'm just glad that she was one of the not so standard Christopher Nolan cast, because otherwise this movie is literally Dark Knight Rises with Dom Cobb and Ariana Grande.
Okay, so people reuse actors all the time. Cillian Murphy, he was good, right? Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
They threw in a little bit of, as is with Nolan, they threw in a little bit of Michael Caine, you know?
Always. I was so happy when he wasn't on Dunkirk, man. But it's just like same ghode, different race. Like, I'm just lazy to cast. Jo bhi last movie mein tha, sabko leya.
Very important. Man. This led to Tom Hardy being a Christopher Nolan favorite. So that's nice, right?
Yeah, I guess.
This led to Joseph Gordon-Levitt being in Dark Knight Rises. The Dark Knight Rises came out afterwards. Why are you complaining?
By the way, he sucks. Even more than Ariana Grande. I don't understand what the deal is with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He sucks. Also, he's just, all he does in this movie, like you mentioned, it's Ariana Grande who's supposed to be the point of moving the plot forward from an understanding point of view. And from the teaching point of view, in terms of helping you understand what it is, it's Gordon-Levitt. That's all his role is. Also, except for that 2-minute sequence.
I was waiting for you to come to that.
How does he do all of that in 2 minutes?
I bet you've heard that before. But
how does he do all of that in 2 minutes?
It's dream time 2 minutes. First of all, the part that you should be focusing on is the epic rotating hallway battle done practically as Nolan does, that they train weeks and weeks for.
Fudgay.
Actually, Fudgay, bro. Like, they were so good at actually making that feel reality. In fact, Nolan said that even though he knew the effect that they were using practically, that when you look at the footage, it actually still distorts with your brain. Such a great fight scene. No gravity or less gravity because the van is falling and he's battling these dudes in a rotating hallway. So cool. Can't deny that. Let me hear you deny that.
I do deny that, man. Matrix did it better. Anything that is unique, oh my God, mind-blowing, live-action stuff, like, it's nothing. It's fine. It's actually very extravagant and not required. And my actual problem with that scene is that that scene actually occurs when the van jumps off the bridge, which was supposed to be the original kick, and they miss it. And then the second backup kick is when the van is going to hit the water. So that scene in dream time exists between the van jumping off the bridge and then hitting the water. So he has about like 2 or 5 minutes in dream time, and he manages to do all of that stuff in 2 to 5 minutes. That's obviously stupid. If you're going to the extent of creating such a phenomenal scene or such a path-breaking scene, then just make the plot right. Make the plot fit into that as well.
Yeah, but the van itself is in the level one dream, right? So 10 seconds in level one dream is already like, whatever, 7 minutes in reality or something. And then Arthur's on the second level. So maybe there's some like time distortion there. The point is that he does it. How does it matter? How does it matter how many minutes he says it'll take? Dude, I don't need to tell you what you can accomplish in 2 minutes.
Okay,
last person I need to tell.
You don't know, that's why. There's nothing to tell here. It's just like one of those things that you just gloss over or don't pay too much attention to. It's fine. It happens with the best. Nolan's the best, and he goofed up. It's okay.
He wraps people up in zero gravity in wire and explodes in an elevator. And the fact that you're focusing on
He's also going up and down 2 stories, by the way, when all of this is happening in zero gravity.
The guy is skilled.
Super skilled, man.
Arthur.
At explaining the plot. So good at it.
And at hallway fights and at elevator bomb rotating
such
wire.
Such a good sidekick.
Such a good scene, man. That's all that matters. What an experience this movie is.
And then because we're on actors and characters, how about care for a riff, Mr. Cobb?
Imitating Ken Watanabe.
Care for a riff, Mr. Cobb?
I'm going to be really mad.
I have my every partner. I want to take him out. I don't understand a word he says, dude.
You sound like there's a dick in your mouth, by the way.
Care for a riff, Mr. Cobb? What is he doing in Mombasa, by the way? Doesn't he have like a business to run?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a theory that Mombasa onwards is a dream, but whatever, I don't believe that. But
I don't even want to get
this is the most important part of his business, right? He wants to just completely undo his rival.
And then jump into the mission with them as if he's an experienced dream doer thingamajig.
I will concede that he maybe should not be on the mission, but this is an important mission and he wants to be there to make sure it happens. What else is he going to do? I mean, like, his businesses are probably running themselves. You know, this is the thing he needs to be involved in.
He just wants to give Mr. Cobb riffs.
I literally don't even know what you're saying. You're just mumbling at this point.
Care for a riff, Mr. Cobb.
Ken Watanabe's accent actually improved significantly between Batman Begins, which I think came out in like 2006 or something, and this movie.
He had fucking 4 lines in Batman Begins, man. This was actually supposed to be his first ever English first role in a movie. He'd never done this before, and it shows. And there's a reason he doesn't do it.
He's not playing an Englishman, right? He's playing whatever ethnicity
but
he is.
He's playing someone in a movie where at times he's explaining key points in the plot. But if I can't understand those, then what's the point?
What a white nationalist you sound like. Oh, you don't want diversity in movies? You don't want different accents?
If they enunciate, then I would love it, but they don't.
Just keep up, man. That's like, oh, you know, Indians talk in stupid accents sometimes, but you have to keep up, you know?
Yeah, but if it's Dave Patel, like, clearly enunciating his English, then I don't mind it. But if it's, like, Johnny Lever in an English role, then obviously it won't work out.
What an imperialist. Because Dave Patel has a British accent, you're okay with it.
Oh,
but
does
if
he?
But if he had a true Indian accent, you wouldn't.
I didn't know that, by the way.
You don't know Dave Patel is British? What do you know? Do you even know movies? Do you even understand?
I'm sorry, I don't have enough Dave Patel knowledge, man.
You brought him up, bro. Were you troubled with Yusuf's accent as well? Tell me, did you have a trouble with Yusuf's accent?
Yusuf? Oh, the chemist dude?
No. Ah, because he's brown, you barely remember him. I get it.
Uh-huh.
I get it, because he had a like Islamic name.
Yeah.
You barely have any idea who I'm talking about.
Yeah. I mean, his accent was fine. He actually is very clearly not Indian.
He's not Indian, yeah.
Or he's Pakistani. I don't know what his nationality.
You're a racist, is my point.
Wow, dude. Just because Ken Watanabe has a weird accent in this movie and I'm pointing that out.
Yeah, and you're mocking him.
You're just weak, man. You're using racism as an excuse here. The guy can't fucking talk in English. Careful, motherfucker. He sounds like a cartoon character. You know what he sounds like? Have you seen South Park? I'm going to be super racist, but I didn't do it. South Park did it. South Park did it. Have you seen South Park?
I mean, not all.
So there's this Asian restaurant run by an Asian guy. The Asian restaurant is called City Walk, but he always called it Shitty Walk. That's Kendall Montanovi. He's like, what kind of shitty walk? That's him.
You're making my point for me.
I can't talk in English, man. I'm watching an English movie. I'm supposed to understand what the plot is. Help me out here, man. They should have like subtitles only for Ken Watanabe.
Oh my God. That would be the most racist thing ever.
Like only when he shows up, there's subtitles baked into the movie.
Jesus.
Oh my God, dude.
I think we need to move on before like this podcast gets banned from iTunes.
Can I?
No, please stop. We already did one for moving on. So I'm going to use the previous Rien de Rien and move on.
It's not Rien de Rien.
The ending.
Okay.
The end of this movie. The spinning
dog.
Was he dreaming, bro?
I don't care.
Was he dreaming? Ah, you know what? Nolan clarified. And the right answer is that you shouldn't care because Cobb doesn't care because he actually doesn't look at the top anymore. He's either given up. He'd rather be in a harsh dream or a harsh reality or whatever it is. And he just goes straight to his kids.
Okay.
But I actually think he wasn't dreaming. I think that's reality.
Yeah. Also, the top wobbles. It shouldn't wobble if it's in a dream.
Yeah.
It should just keep spinning, right?
Yeah. So I guess they're not dreaming. He does make it clear. But it barely wobbles.
It's not supposed to wobble.
I've seen tops that wobble and come back.
Okay, bro. That's your thing. You deal with that.
Do you not have a lot of Lattu experience in life?
I mean, my Lattu spinning was so perfect, dude, that it would either fall or just keep spinning.
Or it would not wobble at all.
What's this wobbling business and coming back? And like, that doesn't make sense.
But the point is that Cobb doesn't even look back towards the top this time. And he just goes towards his kids, which, by the way, are played by different actors. So it looks like they've aged. So I don't think he is dreaming. But anyway, Nolan clarified this and he said that, oh, you know, I put that in to clarify that he doesn't care because he doesn't look back, but yet the audience doesn't know. Greatest fade to black of any movie. We already talked about it. Then the running theory is that actually Cobb's totem is his wedding ring because he doesn't have it when he's dreaming and he has it when he's not.
That's just people trying to find something that isn't there. His totem, as established in the movie, is the top, which was previously Maul's, and then it wobbles a little bit and they cut to black. That's it. It's not supposed to wobble because they show the totem in the safe when they're actually in the dream and it's spinning perfectly. So it's supposed to spin perfectly. It wobbles. It's not a dream. Life moves on.
I remember, I think, you know, I was hammered, but I remember people clapping after that ending.
I remember a lot of, oh.
Yeah, exactly. A wave of, oh.
Like dumbass expressions. Yeah. I was like, guys, the movie's over. Let's go.
Okay. Are you pretending that you weren't one of the people in the movie?
Weird.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Because I thought there was more to the scene. I was like, oh, it was more like,
Such a great ending, dude. Yeah. He's yet to execute such a good ending in any other movie.
I feel like you were incepted that Inception is a good movie.
Very meta. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe I was. By the movie itself, though. So it's not really Inception. But it worked.
Who knows, man? Who knows? Life's not real.
I think we're past this. There's just no point shooting anymore. You know what? I'm actually okay with this one. Yeah. And that was this week's episode of Film Feud. Thank you for listening. Now we feud it, and you, the listeners, get to decide who you think won. You can vote on Facebook, Twitter, even our website. Let us know who you think won. Let us know what arguments you might have made. Let us know what movie you want us to feud next.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, CastBox, wherever you guys get your podcasts. Don't forget to rate and review.
Till next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.